You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Chris Powell. It's been a while since Chris has been with me, so I'll just remind you that he is a columnist for the Journal Inquirer. That's a daily newspaper in Manchester, Connecticut, where he has worked since graduating from high school back in 1967. So he's more or less my age. He was managing editor of the newspaper from 1974 until retiring from that position in February of a couple of years back. Anyway, I'm not sure exactly which year, but he is his column is published in newspapers throughout Connecticut, and he is also the secretary and treasurer of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. It's a nonprofit organization that aims to expose and oppose the manipulation of the gold market and related markets by central banks. And he's also involved in other civic duties and occupations, and he's run for an office, a statewide office in Connecticut, and very much involved in a lot of things that are aimed at helping his fellow man. I've known Chris for a number of years and think very highly of him as a person, as a citizen, as one who is kind and helpful to those around him. So for that reason and more, we're glad to have him with us today. Thanks for joining me, Chris.
Jay, you're too kind, but it's great to be here.
Well, I think it's what I said is certainly deserved, Chris. And I just want to we want to ask you about what's going on in the gold markets. Probably nothing new over the years. People seem to behave the same way in their own self-interest, as they see it anyway in the short term. But you know, there are people out there like, well, Jeff Christian is certainly a critic who have despised in many ways, I think not so secretly, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, and have suggested that the notion of gold manipulation by large banks is nothing more than a conspiracy theory. But actually, over the years, you have really documented quite well, I think very, very thoroughly, over quite a few years, maybe a couple of decades now, I'm losing track of time, evidence of gold manipulation and suppression. Could you explain to our listeners how the price of gold is managed and who is behind the management of, at least in the short run, the gold price?
Well, Jay, it has been managed primarily for many years now through the futures markets, where investment banks, bullion banks, sell far more gold than exists. They sell heavily short, and they are backed in this by Western central banks. In fact, Alan Greenspan testified to Congress in 1998 that the purpose of central bank gold leasing was precisely to keep the price down. He said central banks stand ready to lease gold in increasing quantities should the price rise. That's how it's been done primarily for, you know, at least since the futures markets began back in gold back in 1974, 1975. If you have access to infinite money, if you can create infinite money, and if you can deploy it surreptitiously or in secret, you can control any futures market in the world. The British economist Peter Warburton wrote an essay about this back in 2001. It's posted on Gonda's internet site. I think he was the first one to discern that the futures markets were being used and may have even been created precisely so central banks could divert the money that was looking for inflation hedges out of possession of actual physical goods and into paper instruments whose price could be controlled by naked short selling by central banks. I mean, this is not stuff that Gonda invented. This is stuff that's been acknowledged, analyzed, and reported about by economists and other governments for many years. But the futures market has been the primary mechanism of gold price suppression for for a long time, Jay, central banks working through bullion banks who really camouflage the intervention by central banks, also camouflaging the intervention as the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which is the central bank of the central bank. It advertises in its own promotional materials to prospective central bank members that its services include intervention in the gold market. We mm-hmm. we have that PowerPoint presentation on our internet site. Mm-hmm. So the central banks and the BIS are doing this intervention largely through intermediaries, so that they don't get caught. But there is so much evidence now, so much documentation, so many admissions mm-hmm. by central bankers on the record that I think any halfway competent journalist could write this story. Unfortunately, I think really every mainstream financial news organization in the world is too scared to touch the story, even though most of them have gotten all this documentation from GATA.
Yeah, well, certainly. So price discovery is being denied the producers of gold and silver, because it's true in the silver market as well, right, Chris? This futures market activity?
Well, we don't have evidence of silver leasing directly by central banks. However, there's a good reason to suspect that the silver hoard that has been accumulated by J.P. Morgan Chase over the last decade or so is functioning as the equivalent of a U.S. government silver stockpile. Mm-hmm. I can't prove it. However, both Jamie Dimon, who's the chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, and the bank's former commodity desk chief, Blythe Masters, gave interviews a few years ago in which they said that J.P. Morgan Chase was not trading in the silver market for its own account, that it was doing its trading for clients. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, nobody asked them, do those clients include governments or central banks? Uh-huh. You can always look at the CME Group's Central Bank Incentive Program rules, which are posted at the CME Group's internet site and GATA's internet site, and have been filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission and Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The CME Group, which operates all the futures exchanges, major ones in the United States, is giving volume trading discounts to governments and central banks, provided they trade through intermediary brokers that are registered with CME Group. Mm-hmm. And the Central Bank Incentive Program discounts apply to governments and central banks trading all futures contracts that CME Group runs, not just the government bond futures, but agricultural futures, monetary metals futures, really everything. So, mm-hmm. I think there's pretty good evidence that the futures market is being used by governments as well, with intermediaries for price control as well.
Right. Certainly denying price discovery of the physical metal. Because, Chris, I know that the numbers are just overwhelming. The number of contracts and that represent the ounces of gold, so much greater than maybe in a couple of days as mined from that comes from the mines in a whole year. I mean, it's incredible. I've seen statistics. I don't remember what they are, but it's really overwhelming, isn't it? So you can have these. You see the gold price ticking up and looking pretty strong, and then all of a sudden, boom! You got 20 seconds or a minute or two, and it's just taken down by $50 just like that in massive volumes, right? And it can't be little people all of a sudden realizing that the price of gold is too high and they sell it. It has to be a few big actors, you would think, with the kind of volume that's involved. Is that your understanding?
It's not retail investors who concoct those plunges. Those are banks, traders with access to virtually infinite money and infinite banking, infinite backing from central banks. But if nobody in journalism asks central banks and bullion banks what they're doing, if nobody ever calls the Bank for International Settlements and asks them, what are you doing in the gold market? Well, then the then the financial world is never going to be told officially what's happening. But we have a consultant, Robert Lamborn, who's a retired business executive in the UK, who's been following the Bank for International Settlements for GATA for many years, and he gets their monthly statement of accounts and calculates their gold position from the little numbers in the back of the book. And those numbers change from month to month, and Lamborn has calculated a few days ago that the Bank for International Settlements gold swap position has now exceeds 550 tons, which seems to be the highest position in gold swaps and derivatives that the BIS has ever had. Well, you know, why is the BIS trading the gold market so aggressively? Well, it's either doing it, you know, for fun, or it's doing it at the direction of its central bank members or certain members of the BIS. You know, the evidence of central bank in intervention in the gold market every day, it's on the record. We asked the press office of the BIS a few years ago, you know, what are you guys doing in the gold market and for whom and what are the objectives? And the BIS very quickly replied to me the next day saying, oh, we never answer questions like this. You know, you can guess why.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you can guess why. Well, let's understand here. Alan Greenspan said that central banks stand ready to lease gold in increasing quantities should the price begin to rise. But I think the price of gold has risen, Chris, has risen fairly dramatically. We've seen a little over 2,000 again recently. But I'm guessing that they're managing more than trying. I think they recognize long term as they print trillions and trillions of dollars, they can't keep the price of gold down at $35 an ounce anymore or whatever level they'd like to see it. Everything else is going up too. So ultimately, it seems like the laws of nature do prevail. But my guess is that what they're trying to do is to try to keep control so there isn't a run out of the dollar, out of paper money, into gold, and confidence is lost in the currency. What do you think of that? Do you think I have that right?
Yes, I think you've got it exactly right. That's what somebody else I very much respect, the analyst Jim Rickards, has been been saying. Rickards, who's had U.S. government intelligence clearance, long has said that central banks don't mind if gold goes up. They just don't want it to be terribly noticeable. They don't want it to be disruptive. They want to maintain what they call orderly markets. Of course, orderly markets are not necessarily markets at all. If markets can be kept orderly only by constant surreptitious intervention by the government, well, then they're not really markets. You're not getting price discovery. But yes, Rickards and others have speculated that central banks do want a more gently rising gold price. They want to devalue their currencies. They want to devalue the debt problem around the world. But they can't let the market do it because the market would do it, you know, probably pretty quickly and disruptively. So we have these constant interventions, and not just in the gold market, but in the stock market and the bond market, in order to maintain what central banks consider, you know, an orderly market. But an orderly market is not a free market. Orderly market is a market in which the government is setting prices, and that's really a totalitarian system.
No, it's a tattoo. Well, I think this is the reason then why a lot of journalists aren't really. I mean, people that are, let's say, the counterfeiters, the people that are getting rich and benefiting from money created out of nothing, don't really want that exposed. It's a little bit like a robber, somebody's breaking into a house at night. They hate to see the floodlights come on. And I've always viewed it when gold starts to rise dramatically, very rapidly, people start to wonder, maybe there's a problem here. And so I think they have to keep that sort of the psychology and the con game going to keep people believing in that currency that has nothing behind it, has no intrinsic value. They have to keep people conned into believing in the fiat money. And this, I think, Chris, is what the reason why your fellow journalists are not hopping aboard. Because let's say it's CNBC, CNBC or some of the financial. I mean, these guys, Peter Schiff or somebody, can't go on there and start talking. They cut Peter Schiff off, right? he's not allowed to talk about that stuff anymore.
It's very rare you get anybody permitted to go on financial television
right.
to say that governments are rigging markets. Jim Rickards has gotten away with it a few times and still gets to be allowed on. A few times when I've been in Hong Kong, when Bernie Lowe was running the Squawk Box program on CNBC over there, he permitted me to go on and discuss the evidence of the market rigging, but it's really not done much anymore. You have to understand these guys are terribly afraid of their governments. Even the press is afraid of their governments, and they're also afraid of their advertisers. Their advertisers include the big investment banks, the big international banks, and they are the agents of central banks in gold market manipulation. Well, no news organization that's getting ads from J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and the other ones is going to be very eager to expose what those banks are doing as government agents in the gold market. Look, a few months ago, J.P. Morgan Chase got fined $920 million for gold and silver market manipulation going back years. And yet there is really very little coverage of it. It's certainly something that, might make some pretty good news stories. But financial news organizations are not very interested probing the corruption of their biggest advertisers.
Not at all, because they're all in the game along with it. I mean, everybody's benefiting. And, once you have a socialist system where people get freebies, they don't want it to stop. So, Chris, we're really running out of time so quickly here. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about this gold swapping. Help our listeners understand how that comes into play. Now, you have, at times, people wanting to actually take delivery of gold, right? So they have to find gold. They have to find gold from some source to make some deliveries now and then, or else the people will understand that this is a whole fraudulent game. The paper is not really gold. It's just paper.
The BIS will not answer questions about its activity in gold swaps and derivatives, but I have to assume that the BIS is basically moving gold around among central banks and bullion banks to apply the very limited physical supply to the hot spots in the market so that there are no publicly proclaimed defaults. The amount of gold that the BIS is moving around now, according to our consultant Bob Lambord, it now exceeds 550 tons, which is much larger than most of the national gold reserves in the world. They're playing a game of musical chairs with the gold, Jay. I think that's what the gold swaps are.
Yeah, and you have to think with trillions upon trillions of dollars and people looking for other places, to try to protect their wealth, they're going into tangibles, and certainly the most obvious one is gold and then silver, the monetary metals. Well, Chris, tell our listeners where they can keep up with GATA. It's GATA.org, I think, is the website.
Yep, that's right, GATA.org. We maintain a daily free newsletter that people can enroll for in the right column of our internet site. We maintain a very extensive archive of documentation of gold market manipulation and intervention by central banks. You can get to that documentation at the top left side of our internet site. And if you're looking for anything that you can't find, or you want a summary of the documentation of the intervention, I welcome email at cpowell@gata.org. I'll help you find stuff that you can't find. And of course, we are a nonprofit educational and civil rights organization recognized as federally tax exempt by the Internal Revenue Service under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code, and we're always welcoming financial contributions, which also can be made at our internet site.
Well, exactly, and we're running out of time basically. But the Treasury Department's Exchange Stabilization Fund, take 30 seconds, 20 seconds, and talk about that very briefly. They're also tremendous amounts.
The ESF, the Exchange Stabilization Fund of the Treasury Department, is authorized to intervene secretly on behalf of the U.S. government in any financial market in the world. A few weeks ago, Russ and Pam Martins of Wall Street on Parade disclosed that the fund balance in the Exchange Stabilization Fund had been raised by something like $400 billion in the last few weeks. I can't imagine they would have put another $400 billion in the Exchange Stabilization Fund if they were not planning to use it aggressively in the coming days. But again, nobody asks the Treasury Department what the ESF is doing.
Oh, no. We don't want to know. Okay, Chris, well, thank you so much for helping us understand what's going on underneath the table here with regard to our the Fed and our government. Thank you so much. It's very, very good to have you. That is all the time we have this week, folks. Next week, John Rubino will be with me, Corwin Coe of Sitka Gold. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Novo Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.